Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
New York's fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN. New York.
Day 22 here on this Monday evening. It's JJ, John Jastrzemski. We're keeping you company right here on The Fan. And I hope this guy survived digging out. I don't know if he's a snowballer guy. I don't know if he's an old-fashioned shovel guy or just tried to, you know, maybe find, you know, an able body like 14 or 15-year-old who's looking to make a couple extra bucks. But to help us talk a little hot stove baseball, warm it up a little bit with my main man from MLB.com, the MLB Network, the great Mark Feinstein. What's happening, Mark? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just trying to get through this storm like everybody else.
Well, there you go. What was your method of shoveling today, if you don't mind me asking?
It was a combination of a snowblower, a shovel, and a not-so-willing 12-year-old.
Oh, the willing 12-year-old, the not-so-willing 12-year-old. That's exactly what you need, man. Sometimes a little manual labor, a little assistance is just what the doctor ordered. I will never forget, unrelated, Mark, the Dolphins' last playoff win, which was 20-plus years ago. I remember I had to wake up at 8 in the morning to make sure everything was shoveled. So that game at 12:30, I was able to watch. Little did I know at that point in time, it'd be the last time I'd see my team win a playoff game. Kind of pathetic.
See, I got spoiled. I grew up in the city, so I never had to worry about shoveling until I was about 30. So,
oh, wow. That's a harsh wake-up call at 30, bro. Very
it
harsh.
Is. It, you know, I never realized how much I disliked snow until I was responsible for moving it myself.
All right, Mark, let's get down to business, shall we? First off here, the Bauer market. Are you surprised with how slow-moving it's been? I mean, now it's February the 1st, still waiting for Trevor Bauer off that great year to get a contract. Why has it been so slow-moving?
Well, I mean, I think the economic landscape of baseball right now has been pretty slow-moving. We've still got, you know, more than 100 free agents, and, you know, even of the five big guys that we were talking about all winter, you know, two of them are still out there, right? We saw Realmuto and LeMahieu and Springer sign, but two of them went back to the teams that they were with before. Springer went to the one team that was looking to, you know, sort of get really aggressive on the free agent market in Toronto. But Ozuna's still out there, and Bauer's still out there, and, you know, Nelson Cruz is still out there, and a few other guys. I think it's just, you know, you don't have that many teams looking to spend a lot of money right now. Bauer is a polarizing figure just in terms of, you know, he's got arguments that he should be paid on an annual basis the same, around the same as Strasburg and Cole, but obviously doesn't have the same lengthy track record and isn't looking for the type of years. But if he's really looking to get $35 million a year, he's going to have to, you know, he and his agent's going to have to work to make that happen.
Do you get the sense, Mark, that the Mets are the front runners to acquire Bauer?
I would put them in the front runner category. That doesn't mean they're going to get him. I mean, I think the Dodgers are certainly in the mix. And I think, you know, there's still the possibility if he decides that he's open to taking a shorter term deal, and I'm not talking about a 1 year deal necessarily, but even a 2 year deal, I think that could potentially bring another suitor or two into the mix as well. And the one thing with Bauer, like when we look at, you know, big free agent pitchers, usually you're looking at a guy at his age, you know, 29, 30 years old, who's going to say, I want a 5 year deal. I want a 7 year deal, whatever it was. Cole got a 9 year deal. Bauer's a different kind of guy, right? He's talked his whole career about, I'm going to go year to year with contracts once I become a free agent. Now, coming off of Cy Young, I don't expect he's going to sign a 1 year deal. But would it stun me knowing that a CBA is coming next year, knowing that, you know, you're going to be hopefully in non-pandemic times after a year from now? You know, would it stun me if he went out and signed a 2 year deal, bet on himself again to go back on the market in 2 years? That wouldn't stun me at all. So if he's really willing to take a 2 year deal, I think that could bring other teams into the mix as well. But right now, I would have the Mets as the favorite.
Overall, how would you grade the Mets offseason? Let's say Bauer does not sign. They get Lindor. He's a stud. They get Carrasco, who should slot in a two or three spot in the rotation. They add a couple of bullpen arms. But you had Mets fans, Mark, and you know you hear this all the time. With Steve Cohen coming in, you know, I was taking calls back in November and December saying, we're signing this guy, we're signing that guy. We're going to act like the Yankees did back in 2009 or, you know, way back when A-Rod and Sheffield and all these guys are coming to town. I never really bought that was, you know, a realistic type of goal in the first year for this ownership group. So I'm kind of cool with where they're at so far this offseason. But in your eyes, have the Mets done enough, in your opinion, to kind of like vault themselves into that playoff contender type conversation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just the fact that you've added Francisco Lindor, if they had done nothing else this winter besides that, it would be a great winter. I mean, you're adding one of the premier talents in the league, and where people were looking at, you know, oh, well, Steve Cohen's going to spend this, he's going to spend that. Remember, when you acquire Lindor, you're doing that under the presumption that they're going to sign him long term. So even though it only cost them some prospects right now, it's going to cost them $300 million plus to keep this guy long term. So, you know, that's a big time economic decision to make, to acquire that guy with the eye on keeping him in a Mets uniform for the rest of his career. Carrasco, I know he's 33, great, you know, really good pitcher. He will help solidify that rotation until Syndergaard gets back mid-season. And I like what they've done with the bullpen. I like, you know, Aaron Loop. I watched a lot of games he pitched in Toronto when I was still covering the Yankees. Trevor May is a really good pitcher. You know, I think between DeGrom, Stroman, Carrasco, Syndergaard coming back midseason, this has the makings of a good rotation. I think the Mets are putting themselves in position to be a real factor in the National League East.
We got Mark Feinstein at MLB.com, MLB Network, trying to figure out what's going on with the remainder of this offseason. But Mark, from a Yankee standpoint, listen, I was overjoyed a couple weeks ago when they brought back DJ LeMahieu. He's the perfect fit for the Yankees. The guy's been their best player the last 2 years. He puts the bat on the ball. He's their best clutch hitter. And I always was of the belief it was a matter of when, not if, he and the Yankees were going to find some common ground. Did you kind of have the sense all along LeMahieu was going to be back with the Yankees?
Yes. I would have been very surprised if he had not been back. And I'll tell you why. I think he wanted to come back, first of all, right? He made it clear he was comfortable here, he was happy here, and he wanted to come back. The thing that I kept going back to as these negotiations were dragging along was this, and this is from the 16 years I covered this team. When's the last time the Yankees had a free agent of their own hit the market who they really wanted to bring back that they did not bring back? I don't remember the last one, right? Robbie Cano, they didn't really want Robbie Cano back at the money it was going to take to get him. They made him an offer that looked really good, 7 for $175, but they knew he wasn't going to sign that. So this way they could tell fans, we tried, look, we made him this huge offer, blah, blah, blah. But they knew if it didn't start with a 200, they weren't going to take him. Bernie Williams almost left. They did what they had to do to keep him. The Yankees don't let people go when they want to keep them. And I thought all along that they wanted to keep LeMahieu. He wanted to be there, and ultimately the two sides would would work something out. The only way it was going to happen is if some team like Toronto had gone out there and just given him an overwhelming offer that Cashman and Hal just decided, look, we love DJ, but that's too much. Thankfully for them, that didn't happen.
From a pitching standpoint, Masahiro Tanaka, and you know this well, Mark, your days around the Yankees, gamer, big game performer, and I know he didn't have a great postseason in 2020, but the numbers throughout the last 4 years or so were terrific. I look at Kluber and Taillon, I see the upside. Listen, if Corey Kluber is going to be the guy he was 2014 to 2018, you can make the argument he's a better pitcher than what you were going to get out of Tanaka. Jameson Taillon at $2 million, he's got big-time stuff. Being around Gerrit Cole could maybe get, you know, that much more out of him. But from a starting rotation standpoint, do you think the Yankees were better off going in the direction that they did, Kluber, Taillon, or do you think they would have been better off bringing back old reliable Tanaka for more money?
Well, I think that, you know, the difference obviously is that you're getting two arms essentially for the price of one. And if they reach their upside, they're both potentially better than Tanaka. You know, I think that there are some people around the game who think Tanaka's stuff has diminished a little bit, and that as he continues to head toward, you know, in his mid-30s, you know, that's not going to get better necessarily. So I wasn't all that surprised that they moved on from Tanaka. I was kind of surprised there wasn't more interest around the league in him, although maybe he decided it was Yankees or go back home to Japan. I like what the Yankees have done. I mean, Taillon's a really good young arm, and obviously, you know, he knows, you know, having been Cole's spring training roommate, I think there will be a comfort level for him coming into New York. And Kluber is a guy who, you know, has been a Cy Young winner and certainly has something to prove. And the thing about Kluber, of course, Eric Kresge is the Yankees director of strength and performance or whatever the title is. He's Kluber's guy. He's the guy Kluber rehabs with and works out with. For the Yankees to sign him, Kresge must have told them he's back. He's going to be fine. They had a better idea of his physical situation than any other team because of Kresge's employment there. So to me, it was if the Yankees sign Kluber, I think he's going to be back and physically fine. If they don't sign him, they knew something. So I like the moves.
From a Yankee standpoint with the lineup, listen, we know they got a ton of power. And I know it's very difficult to change the complexion of a team, Mark, that's been in the playoffs the last 4 years. And I know that's the point Brian Cashman's made. He's talked about it with Luke Voit. Yeah, he's right-handed. How are we getting a better first baseman? But I feel like when you've watched them in the postseason, over the last couple of years, when they take on that elite-level right-handed starter, the righty-on-righty nature within the lineup, I think it's hurt them. I really do. And I think over 162, it's not going to be that big of a deal. They're going to be able to outslug. They're going to be able to get past certain teams. In the postseason, it concerns me. Do you have an issue with the Yankees continuing to roll out as, you know, right-handed a lineup as they have, where they basically have no lefty bats, unless, of course, they bring back Brett Gardner?
Which, incidentally, I fully expect they will do, I think.
And they should. You know, you would not believe, Mark, the amount of Yankee fans who call me and say they don't want this guy back. I'm like, are you guys crazy? The guy is the perfect fourth outfielder. He plays great defense. He's clutch. He knows how to be a Yankee. And they're not going to give him $10, $11 million, right? Like, he's going to be back $3, $4 million, give or take?
Probably with some incentives, I would think. And look, there's also something to be said for a guy who is the longest tenured player on the team and really sort of is that veteran in the clubhouse. He's a big presence there. I can tell you that when some of these young guys came up, Brett Gardner was a big presence for them, you know, going forward. As far as the righty-lefty thing, I don't have an issue with it. I mean, I think, you know, if you look last year, the Yankees had an 840 OPS or something against right-handed pitchers. Look, if you face the best pitchers in the game in October, you're probably going to not have the same numbers you did during the season. I mean, the Yankees, as a team last year, had better numbers against righties than they had against lefties. So I really have no issue with it. I think you put the best players together that you can do. If it's ideal and you have a chance to, you know, balance the lineup, even better. And that's, you know, I think one of the overlooked parts of the Yankee dynasty in the 90s and early 2000s was just Posada and Birdie helped everything because they were switch hitters. And it really allowed them to balance that lineup without worrying about it ever. But I think when you have the type and the caliber of right-handed hitters, when you're talking about LeMahieu and you're talking about Judge and you're talking about Stanton, I just don't think you worry about it.
Are you surprised, Mark, or did you see this coming as a guy who covered Brett Gardner from the early stages of his career to where he's become this sort of like elder statesman within the Yankee clubhouse? Did you kind of pinpoint him as a guy who might be that sort of dude, or were you a little surprised with that evolution over time?
You know, early on, I wouldn't have said that I saw him being a leader because he was a very reserved, quiet kid who, you know, broke into a team that had Jeter and A-Rod and all these huge stars on it. And he just sort of sat back and listened and observed and watched. But you could tell as the years were going by, when those guys, when the core four started retiring and A-Rod left and all these other sort of, you know, older Cano left, you could see him emerging into that respected veteran, you know, sort of elder statesman on the team. And Brett's a lead-by-example guy. He's not the guy who's going to get in your face and give you a rah-rah speech. He's not the guy, you know, who's going to show somebody up. But he's a lead-by-example guy. And he really, you know, he came up through the Yankee system. And I think he sort of exemplifies what the Yankees want their players to be. He's a really good guy for Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman to be able to point to and say, see that? That's a Yankee. Go do what he does in terms of how you conduct yourself and, you know, carrying yourself on and off the field. And like you said, still a good player. You're not re-signing him with the intent of playing him 162. You're going to, you know, let him be a fourth outfielder. If somebody's hurt, he can fill in anywhere in the outfield. He can pinch run. He's, you know, good lefty bat off the bench. I think, you know, Gardner fits this roster very well.
I had you on when your book came out, which I love, by the way, Mission 27. I wanted to ask you this, and it's randomly coming to mind, Mark, because we're talking about Gardner and all these years he's been on the Yankees. When was the moment for you? And that team now, you think about it, they take on more and more of an appreciation within the Yankee fans' heart and minds because it's been such a long time. For Yankee fans, feels like a millennium, you know, years upon years without them winning a title. And 09 is that team to do so. Otherwise, we'd be looking at 20-plus years without a Yankee title. But for you, as someone who was around that team day in and day out, when was the moment for you when Mark Feinstein went into work and said, I think this team's winning the World Series?
Well, I mean, obviously they had signed all those guys in the offseason with Sabathia and Teixeira and Burnett. They brought in Swisher, and you were like, you know they have the talent. But the first couple months was uneven. I point to the same night that most of the players pointed to, which was the night in Atlanta when Cashman came down, laced into them. They looked dead for the first five innings, and then Cervelli hits a big home run. Girardi gets tossed from the game, and they just sort of looked like a team that had had enough of the nonsense. They won this really dramatic game, and then they went on this big run after that and really seized control of things. You knew if they stayed healthy, they were the best team talent-wise, but as we've seen, talent doesn't always result in, you know, having the best talent doesn't always mean winning in October. But that team just, there was something about it. Sabathia wasn't going to be denied. And the fact that A-Rod started hitting in the postseason. But I look back at that game in late June in Atlanta. That was sort of the day that I remember saying to somebody the next day, you know, I feel like we're going to look back at this series at the end of the season and say this was sort of a turning point. And then little, you know, at the end of the season, that was the one that everybody pointed to as sort of the turning point for that year.
Mark, final one, and I appreciate the time. AL East, going to be fun. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. You got Tampa, who's always a threat. They were in the World Series last year. I get it. No Blake Snell, no Charlie Morton, but they find ways to churn out new talent. Then you have the Toronto Blue Jays. They don't have pitching, but they add George Springer. They add Marcus Semien to an already loaded lineup. Who's the bigger challenge for the Yankees in 2021?
Well, you know, I always look at these things and you have to think, like, the team that we see going into the season doesn't mean that's going to be the team that really challenges the Yankees, or that the Yankees challenge, you know, conversely, come come July or August or September. Remember that year that the Blue Jays looked like they were going to be tough, and then all of a sudden before the deadline, they go out and get Tulowitzki and Price and all these guys, and they just a train from there. I think the Blue Jays are probably the biggest threat. I think their pitching's better than people give them credit for. I thought Kirby Yates was a really good signing. Ryu was tremendous last year. Robbie Ray is a good bounce-back candidate. Steven Matz is a good bounce-back candidate. I know some things have to go right, but they've got some talent there, and that lineup's going to be just lethal to deal with. So the Rays, Snell and Morton, losing those guys is really tough. I don't ever count them out because Eric Neander is one of the best GMs in the game. But this was going to be really impressive if he can get this team to win the division after getting rid of his two best pitchers.
Mark Feinstein, check him out, MLB.com, MLB Network. Always enjoy the insight, the perspective, and I'll be sure to remind Rich Gannon, Mark, in about an hour of his great days with the Washington football team. Now, I have to be honest, I totally forgot about, because when I think Rich Gannon, I think Kansas City and I think the Raiders, if we're being fair.
Well, of course. He only played 1 year with Washington.
It was one year. And then he played in Minnesota, too, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes. He was in Minnesota, but, there's been a lot of quarterbacks on my team since the last Super Bowl.
Well, let me ask you right now, 2021, sorry I'm doing this to you, who is the Washington football team starting quarterback if Mark Feinstein's the GM?
Well, if I'm the GM, it would have been Matt Stafford, but that's no longer possible for us. I don't think they pay up what it takes for Watson. I think they either, my guess is they go into the season with Kyle Allen and Taylor Heineke and Alex Smith, and they let him compete. Maybe they draft somebody to try to groom underneath him.
You don't want the beard? You don't want Ryan Fitzpatrick? No Fitzmagic in D.C.?
No. I'd rather see Heineke or Allen and give them a chance to, see if they have anything that it takes to play in this league before I bring in another guy in his mid to late 30s.
Been there, done that. I get it. All right, Mark, thanks a ton, man. Enjoy the snow.
You got it, man. Take it easy.
There you have it. That's Mark Feinstein over at MLB.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.